One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress.
It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hello and welcome to Second Opinion with me, Dr. Christian. This is your weekly medical magazine podcast that aims to entertain and, God forbid, possibly even inform you a little bit on medical matters, although insidiously without you noticing. I should just point out, if you are taken ill, become unwell, then perhaps, I need to say this for legal reasons, you ought to either call an ambulance, you can call NHS 111 or go and see your GP. The opinions expressed in this podcast are purely my own and those of my co-presenter, journalist Alex Stanger. Alex, how are you?
I'm very well, my love.
What's going down, as they say? I believe the kids say, don't they? You have children, don't you?
I do. I've got three boys.
Do they say what's going down? Really out of date?
Yeah, I think you're really out of date. Sorry, Christian. But no, they're all also a little bit young. So they're not quite with this sort of like lingo.
They still speak proper.
Yet. They do. They do kind of. They say free a lot, which is always very irritating. You've got to go three. Anyway, yes, I have three boys.
I should say also in the studio with me is the wonderful Jenny Eclair.
Well, hello there. Jenny, this could be any kind of time of day, couldn't it? This is the joy of the podcast.
There's no windows either.
Could be 3 o'clock in the morning. Who knows?
It's a surreal experience. Jenny, I'm so thrilled that you're here because today's subject we're going to talk about is the menopause.
Whoa.
And who else springs to mind when you think menopause?
Well, I'm the face.
You are the face, aren't you? It's your thing.
Bad-tempered face of the menopause. You know, I love the idea of this podcast. It's like a hypochondriac's dream, isn't it?
It really is. It's great. We just get to pose questions to Christian for a long period of
time.
Just
it's free.
Brilliant.
It's like a free private doctor in a studio, isn't it? This is brilliant.
I'm starting to change my mind about this now, actually, very
but
rapidly.
Yes, I'm here to answer any of your questions, Christian, because it's the one thing you really have no first-hand experience
it's
of.
It's true. I will never experience the menopause.
You've got problems with your sinuses, but you're not going to have problems with vaginal dryness.
I'm really not. I see it frequently in clinic, and I wince slightly as I see it. But, you know, the reason I asked you is because Jenny, I don't know if you saw this, Jenny's last, was your last stand-up show,
it was
wasn't
my last
it?
Solo stand-up show.
Oh, my God. I have got experience of the menopause because I weed myself all the way
there
through
you
it.
Go. So, you know, my job was done.
I came close, right? It was so funny. But
it was a good show. It was a show called How to Be a Middle-Aged Woman, open brackets, without going insane, close brackets. And really the whole show came out of a photo shoot in which I really got stuck. I've done a lot of photo shoots, as you will have done, Christian. And I thought, I've done all the faces I usually do in a photo shoot. I don't know what this new show is going to be about. And this poor photographer was going, well, have you got anything else for me? And I just thought, well, the only thing I've got is to take all my clothes off.
As
and
you
so
do.
I took all my
when
clothes
struggling
off,
for ideas,
obviously.
You know.
And she took this photograph of me. And I'd bought these slippers with me because I'd had this idea of having a glamorous dress on and some great big UGG slippers at the bottom. So I just stripped everything off and I was just there in my bra and pants and a pair of UGGs, the slippers. And when these photos came back, and the bra and pants were very mismatching. It gave me the idea for the show. I just thought, well, this is what a middle-aged woman looks like. You know, you might not like it, but this is what the show is going to be about. This is, you know, what happens when your body turns to suet. And and it really, I think it did touch a nerve because that show ran for 3 years and it did this country, up and down the country. And I did Colchester Arts Centre 5 times.
So you were running on. I mean, I don't want to give it. Can I give away the beginning or is it?
Yeah. I can't. Oh, yes, that's because it's
run
over
on,
now.
You run on, she runs on in her bra and pants.
Yes. Love it.
And dance. And it's the funniest, glorious, most wonderfully sort of celebration of you and your age
that
I've ever
and it was
seen.
A bit of Debbie Harry. And of course, in my head, I look like Debbie Harry. There is photographic evidence that I don't. You know, there's a bit, it's on YouTube. And you just go, Jesus, really, did I? Yeah, you did. But it was kind of one of those things, people weren't expecting it. And when it was suggested to me that I actually did start the show like that, I went, oh, are you sure? And I do remember the first time I did it, and I was sort of sitting backstage in this Mac, like feeling like a flasher, you know, dirty old woman sort of thing. Because all I had underneath was, the, you know, the mismatched underwear. And that my sort of director and tour manager just said, just do it, you know. And if it doesn't work, won't have to do it again. Of course, you know, there was just this roar and it was very warm and people just went, oh, yeah, that's what I look like. There were a few people who did take exception to the fact that the bra and pants didn't match. And I sort of tackled it by saying, you know, apparently this is there's a legal thing. If your bra and pants don't match, an ambulance doesn't have to legally take you to hospital. You know, they are within their rights to leave you bleeding at the side of the road, you know. Joke. So the show became quite a big thing about body image, about what it is to be. I mean, I think I started writing it when I was about 56. I'm 58 now. So I was probably 55, actually, and I'm nearly 59. So, it was I got my money out of it kind of thing. Well, I monetized the menopause.
Good. I mean,
well done me.
Well done you, because it was glorious and it covered all the things that you never really see covered. It showed... can I call you normal? You know, it showed a normal-looking woman, as women look at that age, which you never see. You know, it wasn't all airbrushed and tweaked. It was just...
It really, really wasn't. I mean, I'm a flabby size 14. You know,
and you're a normal woman.
Yeah. When you say normal, I can't take offence.
I know that's a difficult word, but you
I'm
do know what I mean,
normal,
don't you?
Yes, but although being exceptional in myself,
you're exceptional. Yeah. But you are
physically very bog standard.
I think it's something though
help
that
me
we
here,
are.
Alex, help me.
Well, I think it's something that we are now talking about a bit more. I don't know if it's because I'm getting to the age where I'm probably peri, I'm probably on the cusp, but I do feel as if people are chatting about the menopause much more openly, and doing something like you did is absolutely fantastic, because I think it's something that we've all like swept under the carpet and said, oh, we're just going to ignore that there's this huge great big thing called the menopause going to hit at some point.
And it does hit. It hits like a meteor. But, I mean, everyone has a very different menopause, and I do know women who I've got a friend who said one hot flush and then it was all over. You know, and that's fine. That was great for her. But for me, it wasn't so much about the physical stuff, which I think everybody is very aware of and kind of thinks that's going to be the first thing that happens. Everyone thinks it's going to be the hot flushing and all that kind of thing. For me, it wasn't that. It was a mental state that completely pulled the rug from underneath my feet. You know, it was extreme anxiety to a point where... and anger, uncontrollable anger. So watch that. I think the perimenopause is quite a newfangled thing. And that's another thing I said in the show. You know, my grandmother didn't have a perimenopause, but she did get a tit stuck in the mangle whilst, you know, swings and roundabouts. Things change, don't they?
We don't have mangles anymore, do we? That's the difference.
I tell you, if we did, I'd have my tits stuck in
the mic. Now it's the CD player. Do we still have them even?
No. What these days now, with mine, because I've started to droop a bit. I remember, this literally happened to me. I was bending down to unstack the dishwasher.
Yeah.
And I happened to be floating free. And I picked up two dinner plates. And I've got a bosom stuck between...
You made a burger.
Yeah,
a bosom burger.
Yeah, a bosom burger. Anyway, there were clean dinner plates. That was all right.
Thank goodness.
But yeah,
not
so...
Not eating at her house, remind me.
It's the mental stuff as well. But 47, but people start the menopause, you know, at all different times. I think you have to ask your mum, because mine very much coincided with my mother's.
You're dead right. The age your mum goes through is probably the age you're going to go through. So
now I want to ask you, what is going on in a woman's body when the menopause strikes?
In a nutshell, you've got this lovely hormone called estrogen that keeps you sane and moist and voluptuous, doesn't it? Right?
Yeah, yeah.
And estrogen's actually three different hormones. I think we bundle it all together in one word because no one can remember what
I'm making notes
are.
Here, to be honest, because I'm still a bit vague.
Well, it's three different hormones, but we just call them all estrogen because it's easier and none of us can remember it. And essentially at an age, round about 51 is the average age in the UK, oestrogen starts to drop, the levels start to drop. And we used to think it was just pure fertility. That meant you're not ovulating anymore, you're not having periods, you go a little bit nutty for a bit, that's the end of it. Actually, we've discovered that oestrogen has a lot of activity in the brain, for instance, which explains a lot of the mental health side effects. People suffer crushing depression, crushing anxiety, crushing anger. And that's something I really want to cover. You know, not only is the sort of end of fertility, which seems like they use things like the change. Don't they? What irritating words like that, that if I was menopausal would make me want to smack you one, actually, if you called it the change. But, you know, I'm a man. What do I know? So, you know, not only does your fertility decline, but I think, you know, your mental health can really struggle. And if you've already had mental health problems, I think it can really trigger further ones.
And also, it sort of seems to happen. It's a perfect storm. It happens at an age when not only are you already starting to get a bit tired, you're in your 50s and things are, you've slogged along, maybe, you know, your career, you're no longer 40. You no longer sort of play tennis in the way you used to play tennis or whatever you used to do when you were 40 and fit and fun. Suddenly 50, you go, oh, I'm a bit tired now.
Everything aches a bit.
Everything is starting to sort of take its toll a bit more. Your parents are ageing and suddenly they can't be relied on anymore. There's this real shift in your relationship with your parents is that, you know, they are dying. They are getting old. They might be getting doolally. They're dying. And your children are no longer the sort of sweet, biddable kids that they used to be. They're teenagers or beyond. They're leaving home. And then sort of you're stuck in the middle of this sort of maelstrom of kind of, oh, God, it's me having to deal with everything, you know, help my parents out, worry about my child or children making this transition in their life from sort of child to adult. And then on top of it, I feel mental. So...
And riding alongside is often, and this is the bit I want to get in. Of course, the man has to get the man bit in. But often riding alongside is a husband or partner who is doing his best, but doesn't
annoying.
Know what the hell is going on and is struggling away. And I think that's the other bit that we don't talk about. We don't talk about the menopause enough. And I think men who are not very good at talking about anything anyway just go, I just don't know what's happened to her. I don't know what to do. I can't do anything
It's a real walking on eggshells thing. Jeff said that I'm on HRT now, which, of course, we think is the wonder drug.
I was going to ask this.
Yeah. I mean, I must really probably start weaning myself off. Maybe on my 60th birthday, I'll start cutting back. But Jeff is very, my partner's quite a lot older than me. I'm 58 and he's 70. So he thinks HRT is the best thing that has ever happened to him in his life.
Is that because the patch gets stuck on him?
It's because I'm quite pleasant. He has lived with a difficult woman for many years and then saw me at peak difficult at 52 and then saw me going to the doctors and coming home with this magic stuff, magic pills and magic rub-on estrogen, I think it is. Rub it. And it's very odd because the combination of the HRT that I'm on, and obviously, you know, I've looked into this very carefully. I don't come from a history of women with breast cancer, and I have my mammograms absolutely religiously, and I also have my smear test religiously, because just because you're in your 50s doesn't even matter if you're not having sex anymore. You've still got to keep those things going. You've got to keep those checks going.
And, very
important. So even if, you know, you have dried up a bit, it's a bit difficult, and the nurse goes, oh, this is tricky. I've lost the complete...
When you're in
you don't know what you're talking
HRT.
About.
HRT.
Yes,
HRT.
Oh, no, yes. Sorry. Yeah.
You went somewhere else.
HRT. So anyway, I take a pill and a rub in. I think it's estrogen. It's kind of slimy.
Yeah.
It's a bit like a sperm.
It's a gel. Yeah.
It's an estrogen
I wouldn't
gel.
Know, but yeah. Well, I would.
Yes, you would.
I would, actually. Yeah,
trying
I would.
A kid.
Jenny, with the HRT, so it wasn't until you were 52. So how long do you think it was beforehand that you were probably menopausal and then you said, right, okay, I'm going to sort this out. I'm going to get the HRT.
I don't think that I particularly suffered a long and agonising perimenopause. I really don't. As I say, the physical symptoms, you know, weren't all that big a deal for me. I think I'd probably been a maniac for about 10 months.
Did you know?
Like that. I just...
Did other people sort of have to say, Jenny, look, we need to talk?
I'm just trying to do the sums here. So if this is about... 8 years ago, say I was 50. So this would coincide with my daughter being about 21 or 22, coming back from university and living at our house again, which she hadn't because she'd been at university. And suddenly the anxiety of her being back and going out at night, I couldn't hack it at all, but I became very hysterical. And I became one of those mothers that was doing the 3 a.m. night bus ringing, you know, where are you? Where are you? Are you on the night bus? All that sort of thing.
And you'd never been like that before.
Yes, I had always been like that. Let's face it, I've always been totally overprotective and very neurotic. But it became, you know, immediately catastrophic. I mean, she really couldn't even go to the hairdressers without me thinking she's been abducted. I mean, I was absolutely, I spent most of my nights when she went out in my partner's study, which overlooks the main road where the night buses come up the hill, with the blind rolled up just at the right number of inches so that I could see the buses coming in from town. You know, and they have night buses, so they go all through the night. And yeah. I'd be there, perched on the windowsill from midnight to 3 a.m.
So you went proper mental,
I went
didn't
proper,
you?
Yeah, really the anxiety, just so no sleep at all.
Wow. You, just, you don't hear this side of things, do
no,
you?
And, yeah,
and,
no.
and is that menopause or is there something else going
well,
on?
It's all,
how do you know?
Let's face it, if anyone's going to have a difficult menopause, it was probably going to be me. If it was going to exacerbate anxiety, which I've always had, it was going to sort of ratchet it right up. And that's what happened. Everything that I am became more so. So to a point where I really wasn't dealable with, because I've always been quick to anger, I mean, fury, you know, lashing out and that sort of thing. But, I mean, Jeff always thought I was going to get shot in South London. That was his secret dream.
Still hoping.
Still, yeah, still. Because I just have these massive road rage incidents and I'd get out of my car and start screaming at people on the street and that and calling them, you know, all sorts of C words. Yeah.
But was this during the menopause or was this beforehand?
Well,
that
this
you
is before I went
to
the doctors. I was always a bit quick to temper. Yeah. I've always been very quick to wind the window down, give a V sign. But it was going beyond that. I was getting out of the car.
Oh, crikey.
Yeah, I was kind of rolling my sleeves out and coming, saying, come on.
Oh, my goodness.
Come on, then. Yeah.
I mean, what's amazing is how little we actually know scientifically about the menopause. It is still a real mystery. We don't know why you get hot flushes. We don't know why there are menopausal problems. We're just working it out.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
I was sort of doing a bit of research into this. There are only two other animals we think that go through the menopause, and they're both whales.
Really?
Isn't that fascinating?
God, yeah. I mean, it's that a good job I'm not a whale. So my behaviour, if I was
there are
the
two
size
very
of a
grumpy
whale.
Whales swimming around, yeah. Just, you know, nudging other shellfish out of the way.
Absolutely. Kind of queen bitch of the sea.
Can you imagine? I rather like that. I can't imagine a whale being
magnificent.
Grumpy.
Magnificent, yeah.
So apparently it's just two whales are the only animals we know of. But otherwise, we don't really know why all the other
I mean, I do think that temper and panic has something to do with it. Haven't they done studies since of cognitive behaviour therapy with women? I think Mariella did a programme about the menopause, which obviously I was too jealous to watch. But I watched bits of it, and from what I could gather, women really did benefit from cognitive behavioural therapy. Mm. But that's not to undermine women who could be listening to this going, do not suggest, how dare you, because my hot sweats. I always remember the actress Linda Robson saying the reason why she went on HRT quite early on, she had quite a young menopause, was she was on stage and she was wearing a tweed three-piece suit, but probably not three-piece, but very thick. And she
said, sounds hot and scratchy.
It would roll down the back of her neck and her back would be wet. And you know, there are practical things. When you're a middle-aged performer, if your back gets wet, sweat goes into your microphone that's tucked into your backpack, you know, onto your knickers. And then that sort of starts to feed back and create all kinds of noises. So, you know, you need a dry back sometimes. But it's, so I think that the sweats they vary very much from some people just get the occasional bit hot, need to open a window. I feel very sorry for women working in offices because, you know, they're the ones with the little sort of fans on their desks and trying to open the window, and then some 22-year-old will walk past in a vest going, it's freezing in here!
My mother used to drench the bed. I mean, it would...
Yes, this is what a lot of women say.
My father would woke up soaking wet next to her
in the wet
patch.
Having had no enjoyment from it.
No, his gym jams would be soaked through, and it was all my mother, you know.
But I suppose the key thing is... why does it affect some people in some ways and not other people in the other ways?
That's what we don't know.
But periods are very different for women, aren't they?
Yes.
I mean, there were girls at school that would throw up and faint. And you used to think, oh, I wish I was a throw-upper and a fainter, because then I could get out of double
games,
whatever.
Yeah.
Used to get half an aspirin and lie down in the sand. But yeah, so I just think that we are all different, and our pain thresholds are different as well. I mean, some people can stand, and I think if you're a panicker, when these symptoms start coming in, someone like me reacts very badly to them. You know, I mean, some of my postmenopausal side effects have really had me off the rails. I mean, I contacted you when I got dry eye, which is pretty much a bane of my life at the moment. But, you know, I have to manage it. And that's quite common in postmenopausal women. Your eyes dry out, basically. Can everyone please remember to blink? Blink, please. We are losing our blink.
Just blink three times.
Yeah, we're losing our blink mechanism. And I'm becoming evangelical about this.
That's the one.
So there are other sort of boring side effects, but I think that, you know, for people who don't know much about the menopause, you know, there are moments when I had started to think maybe I was having an early kind of dementia thing.
Mm.
And the way I used to test myself, this is ridiculous.
I'm going to love this. Here we go.
Well, no, it's not that exciting. I just used to forget Amy Lou Harris's name a lot.
Yeah.
And then I would stand in the middle of the kitchen and go, okay, what's her name? You know that woman, you always forget her name. What is it? Come on, you know, you've got a CD of hers upstairs. If it gets really bad, you can go and check the CD. Who is it? Do you know? It's Amy Lou Harris. Yes, that's right. So you haven't got mad. But you have put your car keys in the cheese container in the fridge. Oh, God. Okay. So there's a lot of that goes on.
You know, there's a description of all of this. Is just one woman's experience. I'm sorry, this has really put you off, isn't it?
But well, you know, I'm just at the precipice. I'm
this
stepping
is what
in.
Never talked about. So, because you were talking about dry eyes, and I mean, this is one lady has said symptoms were far too numerous than just hot flushes and insomnia. But I had my skin peeled, my ears rang with tinnitus, my tibial tendon swelled and ached, my lubrication disappeared, my eyes dried, felt like I had grit in them, my jaw locked. That's her little list of fun that she went through. But why don't you guys talk about it more? Actually, no, that's not fair.
See,
why don't we talk about it more?
I think that's a bit of a myth that we don't talk
about
it.
Well, I think it's changing. And maybe it's because I'm at that age where it's on the horizon. So I went away with some girlfriends. We've been going away for 20 years. We went to Ibiza this year and one of them said, we used to talk about boys and sex and now we just talk about the menopause and hot flushes. And everyone was getting very irate about it. So we have started to talk about it. But I think that old school thing where you never talked about periods. I mean, I never really talked about periods with my friends until more recently, I don't
I just think that there was always maybe, I think that this new generation coming up, we all talk about periods. We talk about period poverty. We talk about lots of things surrounding it.
Do you teach your kids about the menopause, or do you feel that's just a step too far?
Well, I feel very much that Phoebe's witnessed mine. I mean, I only have one daughter and she's, now 29. So she, yes, of course she knows everything because she sort of sees my work and all that kind of thing. And she's an adult and she's a feminist, so she understands it. And I don't, and I you see, I've always been somebody who has talked about periods and things like that. My very early work, you know, I got very much cast as a sort of potty-mouthed female comic because I talked about periods and that kind of thing. And I really genuinely have always been shocked when women didn't with each other because I thought, what is this prudery? This is sort of like pathetic. So I've always sort of very much shoved it in people's faces, and I don't think some people have enjoyed that. But, you know, I think that it, that the media enjoy saying it's a taboo. They enjoy kind of perpetuating this myth that women don't talk about and it's something very hush-hush because, on a day-to-day level, I don't think amongst most women who are educated and have got friends and, you know, live in sort of, I don't, maybe if you're in some rural backwater, but I think even then, no, I just think that, you know, it's very present. So I don't think we are as squeamish as we're made out to be.
Yes, I agree with you. I don't think we are. But I think that, I just think when we were growing up, we didn't talk about it. It just was sort of like...
No, my mother's generation didn't talk about it. My mother's 89
But they didn't talk about anything like that,
No, she didn't. And she admitted recently to me that she thought that her menopause was over and done with, and she was going into hospital to have a kidney operation, I think. You know, my mother's very stoic and she can have a kidney out without really mentioning it. And she said, and I started a period as I was being trolleyed down to the operation. She said, they were very angry with me. They made me feel very ashamed.
Oh.
And I thought that was a horrible thing to do with my mum. And, you know, I immediately get, well, right, find me the doc, all that sort of thing. So I think that it is much easier than it used to be. Although, when we talk about squeamishness, you know that I've done the Vagisan advert. Other brands are available,
as we all
know. But that was the reaction to that was very interesting. And I did get stick from mostly, this was disappointing, quite a lot of gay men. Yeah.
Why? What the hell has it got to do with them?
They found it that just made their stomachs churn.
Oh,
they were sort of tweeting me things like, hold on, love, hold on, babes. I was just having my whatever supper of choice.
Okay.
But women equally just going, this isn't really before the watershed, not what I want my kids to see, all that.
Really?
So you're still... Yeah, I mean, I must admit, I was surprised how frequently
it was. But that's my point.
On.
You've all said, no, I think it's a myth that we don't talk about it. But then something
like that
comes
happens,
along,
I go,
and you see that. So I don't know.
Do you think it's also a social thing, though? Because obviously, blokes don't have something like this, whereas we have a sort of flag waving, hello, I've reached a certain age now. And then does that mean that, say, things like work or things like that, we may look a little bit
out of control.
That we've got this. Also, if you have the symptoms that are sending you a little bit unpredictable.
Everyone goes, oh, Barbara in accounts has gone a bit mad. Stay away, you know.
Stay away from Babs.
Yeah.
You don't know which way she's going to
go. Say blokes don't have this, but
they do.
We sort of, I know we don't in the same way, but we have to live with you and we do would like to walk with you through it. And I know that sounds all touchy-feely and nice, but hey, I am.
But isn't sort of, don't men start having...
male menopause, andropause.
Not so much that, but the sort of problems with erections and things like, you know, what's it called, Christina?
Problems with erections.
Erectile dysfunction. Isn't that a very common side effect of being in your 50s?
Well, I mean, it shouldn't be, but it is. And I think it's really clever. I think this is the body going, right, we've done everything we can to try and get this bloke to do a bit more exercise, to drink a bit less, to lose a bit of weight. So we're going to hit him where it really hurts. And if we stop him getting erections, perhaps he'll actually do something about it. But that's a different subject. But I think, you know, I know my dad tried desperately hard to keep my mum comfortable and keep her happy as she was sort of going quietly mental in the kitchen and crying and dropping the quiche and whatever it is that she did. but just didn't know what to do, you know. And I feel for men in that
and
respect.
Where do you stand on the HRTs?
Great. I mean, look at what it does. You struggle.
Look at my skin.
Look at Jen. Look how moist Jenny is. Look at her. She's oozing moisture. See her, aren't you? I mean, literally,
it's dewy complexion.
She is dewy. I think it's a great thing. I think, you know, the risk. You said absolutely rightly. So I weighed up the risks and the benefits, and I came out in favour of the benefits. Mm. And when you're going through all the horrors that menopause can do, not always, and some people have a really easy one, I think HRT is a great option. I should say, and this is not said enough, the menopause is not a medical condition. And there's a real danger that we medicalize it and flog you some pills. You know, that's the argument. It's normal. Right. Every woman has a menopause or whatever age. It's not a medical thing. It's like puberty is not a condition, is it? You know, but actually, if you're struggling, nevertheless, go and see your doctor because there is help and you can be made to feel a lot more comfortable.
Is eczema in the ears part of it, Christine? Because that is something I am now plagued with.
Skin problems. Dry, itchy skin absolutely is. Yep. It can be. Each week we look at some quackery that's been going on. All right. You might have seen it. And now even our great head of doctors, whoever that is, has gone, actually, celebrities should be stopped flogging rubbish to the public. What do you think about that?
Well, I think that celebrities should be stopped from flogging most things that they...
Says the face of Vagisil and other popular brands.
This is more of an insidious thing, isn't it? These are the influencers on Instagram and things like that.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're honestly sort of taking some money to advertise a product on television, as I am, listen, I'm not doing it for no money.
Of course.
There was a fee attached as well.
I would hope
but
so.
But I just thought, well, you know, I've got it. Why not get some free samples? And they send me a box load every month. So there you go.
But did you hum and haw about the product and the quality, or did you just say...
I met with them and had a very long discussion about them.
Okay.
And they're German and they know what they're doing.
Yeah.
And
I like that. They're German. They know what they're doing.
Terribly efficient.
You know what I mean? So I'm hoping that I'll still get my my freebies after Brexit. I hope they won't get stuck at wherever. Mm. So,
who'd have thought vaginal dryness might be a side effect of Brexit? We never saw that coming, did we?
Yeah, I know. That'll teach him. Should they stop? I think that if things aren't medically proven, if they're a bit iffy, are these skin whitening creams and things like that?
Oh, it's like diet pills. So these are sort of influences that teenage girls follow, isn't it?
I mean, I think this is very different for you, though, because you did an advert and that's a different thing. Whereas if you're an influencer and you haven't got the disclaimer at the top saying that I am supported or I've been given all of this for free and you know, you're being paid quietly, which
it's sneaky.
A lot of these, it's sneaky. It's like, say, look at my amazing bod. I got it through this. And
have they really?
I mean,
do you know what? I hate cheating in any way, shape, or form. I hate. Look, I did. I'm doing punching
she's
into.
Off, her.
Oh,
she's off. She's
yeah.
off.
Not quite enough Easter gel.
It's like
okay. Do you know what? I really hate.
I hate
people who pretend to write novels that don't write their own novels. That makes me spit harder than anything else. I hate cheating in any way, shape, or form. I hate those women who do exercise videos and they've only lost weight because they've been taken to a boot camp, mm-hmm. and yet they're pretending to, you know, their masses. That actually this is all done through a diet and exercise and a routine, and this is my routine. No, fuck off, actually.
So you think celebrities should be banned from flogging products?
I think they've got to be clear. I think they've got to, if they're on a post, I think they have to say, I'm being paid by such and such diet supplement.
Yeah.
And this is, yeah, that I think you have to be very clear in this. You've got to have transparency.
Yeah.
It's a fine line, though, isn't it? Mm. Banning things makes me nervous in general. Banning things leads to a state where none of us really want to live. But also banning things doesn't really stop people doing things. Look at drug laws. Look at everything. You know, banning things just makes you want to do it. That's the problem,
doesn't it? And sometimes people kind of deserve what they've bought into. I think it's got out of control. I think the influencer has become an insidious part of our culture.
Mm. Jenny,
I was grown up.
Wasn't it?
I know.
I'm very impressed, Jenny.
You have to run off because you've got busy and important things to do.
I've got to write a load of fart jokes this afternoon.
You go write your fart jokes.
And they will be her original fart jokes. Nobody else will have written them.
No, Jenny, we're thrilled that you could join us and share all your intimate secrets about your menopause with us.
I'm just putting my shoes off.
She is, actually. Put
really
your clothes
is.
Back on.
Yeah. I like this. You have to have your shoes off when doing a podcast.
Yeah, I can't sit normally. It's very difficult in the theatre because I just go, how do you actually sit with your feet on the floor? I have never sat on a chair with my feet on the floor ever. They always go tucked underneath me. So, yeah, shoes off.
I'm a writer about her. You've probably noticed. I have to.
You move around a lot.
All the time. Yeah. Drive, if you try and film me, it's the poor cameraman is really earning his money.
Jenny, lovely to see you.
Lovely to see you, Jenny.
Bye-bye.
Farewell.
Big kiss. Bye-bye. Big thanks to Alex, as always.
Pleasure.
And to my special guest, the wonderful Jenny Eclair. Thank you for coming and being so honest and open and moist about your menopause. We loved it. If you have any questions, by the way, for me to attempt to answer, please don't make them too difficult. Do actually send them in to Second Opinion and I will do my best to answer them. You can send emails to surgery@thepodcastworks.com or you can even tweet me, which is at Dr. Christian, doctor, the word doctor, rather than the letter Dr. DR. That's not an easy thing to say, is it? But at Dr. Christian. Until then, we'll see you next time for more open and honest medical chat. Goodbye.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.